Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time. We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today we're going to continue to look at what John taught about the doctrine of the Trinity. So let's open our Bibles and read 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 again together. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. Now, on the last broadcast, we were going over just how important it is for the church to know and to rightly preach who Jesus is. For almost five chapters now, the Apostle John has been teaching us that there are four things that are essential to being a Christian. Number one is love of God and love for God. Number two is keeping God's commandments. Number three is loving the brethren. And number four is a correct understanding of who Jesus is. And all throughout this epistle, these are the four areas that John constantly points out as being the hallmarks of genuine Christianity. And in this passage, John is once again reminding us that even if we love God, even if we keep God's commandments, even if we love the brethren, even if we do all three of these things, but if our understanding of Jesus is not true, then there is great doubt about whether or not we are truly saved. And on the last broadcast, we were discussing a very important battle in church history whereby the deity of Jesus Christ came under assault from evil men inside the church and a time when the Christian church nearly lost its confession about who Jesus is. Back in the 4th century, a very handsome and charismatic man named Arius, who was a presbyter of the church, began to teach contrary to what Scripture clearly reveals about Jesus. Arius taught that what he said that the Holy Spirit revealed to him outweighed what the Scriptures taught, and that God had showed him that Jesus was a glorified and exalted man who had been created at some point during creation. Now, I realize that many today would simply shrug their shoulders and say, so what? So what if somebody wants to believe that? It really doesn't matter as long as they love Jesus. Ah, but it really does matter, dear friends, because the net effect of Arius' teaching was that Jesus was not God, because God cannot be created. But here's the problem. If Jesus is not God, then it is wrong to worship Him, and it's wrong to pray to Him, and therefore, salvation is not brought about by faith in His name alone. And if Jesus was not deity, then what are we going to do with all those verses in the Bible that clearly and repeatedly teach that Jesus is God? And if Jesus is not God, and He knew that He was not God, but was trying on purpose to deceive people into thinking that He was God, then Jesus was not only a liar, but He was a deceiver. And that would make Jesus to be evil. But if Jesus was not God, but only thought that He was God, then Jesus was a lunatic. But if Jesus was either a liar or a lunatic, dear friends, then we could never trust Him with our eternal souls. Only if Jesus was telling the truth and was God wrapped in human flesh could we then trust Him for salvation. So that is what is at stake back. That was what was at stake back in the 4th century over the Arian controversy. And I really believe this would make a great movie because it is filled with intrigue and drama and passion, along with dealing with very serious issues of eternal consequences. Now, part of the problem early in the 4th century was the fact that the horrendous persecution of the church that had begun at the crucifixion was now letting up. For 3 centuries after the first prayer meeting in the upper room, when the church was born, Christianity was a persecuted and illegal religion. The Christian church had endured over 300 years of living under the constant threat of immediate annihilation. And if you remember from your high school history, in the year A.D. 312, the Emperor of Rome, Constantine, suddenly made a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, we have no idea whether Constantine really got saved or not, but history shows that he did make a public profession, and that his sudden conversion was real big news. In the following year, in AD 313, Constantine issued the Edict of Milan, which for the first time ever granted toleration for Christianity within the Roman Empire. And this edict even gave the Christian church some special tax breaks. And the net effect was that the people of the Roman Empire now had a financial incentive as well as a political incentive to follow their emperor and convert to Christianity themselves. And that is how Christianity became almost overnight the de facto religion of the Roman Empire. Constantine was supposedly converted because of a vision that he saw, said that he saw. During the Battle of the Milvian Bridge, Constantine said that he looked up in the sky and saw the Christian monogram. Now, the Christian monogram is still used in many Eastern churches today. You may have seen it. It's a cross that looks like an X superimposed on the letter P. Constantine said that he saw this symbol in the sky, under the symbol was the words, "By this sign, conquer." So he converted to Christianity, and from that time on, the church was no longer persecuted like it had been. Now look, it's good when people are not persecuted. I'm certainly not in favor of persecution against the church. But because we are carnal creatures, when given an abundance of peace and safety and prosperity, most people, even most Christians, even most good Christians, will get fat, dumb, and happy. It is simply human nature to get relaxed when everything is going well. And this is the biggest problem of the American church today. We have too much money and too much spare time, and we feel far too entitled, far too safe, far too peaceful, and we have a sense of security and warmth and well-being that has nothing to do with what God has provided us. And all of these wonderful blessings have put the tendency to make us self-centered and self-reliant rather than putting our trust in God. And that tends to make us apathetic and relaxed and worldly and more in tune with keeping our prosperity and keeping our materialism intact than risking everything to earnestly seek after the things of God. Now, I know I'm going to get into a lot of people's I'm going to get into a lot of trouble by saying this, and I'm going to get put off a lot of people's Christmas party lists for saying this, but it's the truth, so I'm bound to say it. Here we go. The unprecedented peace and prosperity that we have enjoyed in this country since the Second World War is a snare of the devil to divert our minds and our hearts away from the things that matter most to things that are temporary and that moth will corrupt and that rust will take away. The overwhelming majority of the teachings today in the modern church about prosperity are not biblical. They're not true. They are false teachings that promote greed and idolatry and covetousness and materialism, and they bring about great discontent in the hearts and minds of God's people. And this turn away from biblical Christianity to materialistic idolatry is destroying the American church and the people in the church. And to prove that what I'm saying is true, at the very same time that we have enjoyed this unprecedented peace and prosperity, we have also seen an almost total collapse of biblical morality, and the two things are connected. The same thing that is happening to us today happened to the church back in the 4th century. The great persecution of the church had stopped. Women were no longer being made widows because of the gospel. Little children had their fathers at home every night because their fathers were no longer being thrown into jail for serving Christ. And at first the church rejoiced over this newfound peace, and rightly so. But soon human nature took over. Soon prayer meetings went unattended because people no longer saw the need to pray. They were too busy making more money. Before, they were earnestly praying that they could live just long enough to declare the gospel to one more soul for one more day. But now, because they were living in peace and prosperity, they saw no need to pray at all. And because of the tax breaks, Christians actually began to prosper more than the non-Christians. So with this prosperity came more of this world's goods, and with all the stuff came the need to tend to all the stuff. And that meant less time to study the Bible, less time to pray, less time to share the gospel with other people, less time to serve God. In the 4th century church, some even preached that fasting had been done away with because the need to draw close to God had passed away. Some even went so far as to declare that since Constantine had been so good to the church, that Constantine must be Jesus, and his ascension to the throne must be the second coming of Christ. The result was you couldn't pay people to do what they had done before the peace and prosperity had arrived. They simply were too busy, too occupied, too involved in making this world their home and making these temporary and worldly things their heavenly reward. And so the heretics took advantage of a church that was weak and worldly and rushed in to destroy it. And they nearly succeeded. The people of God were so busy becoming important and acclimated to this world that they forgot about defending the faith. But look, don't look down on them. Who among us today would trade a week-long cruise to a resort location with a week of fasting on water and weeping between the porch of the altar? Very few. Very few then and very few today. Which churches today have seen a growth in attendance to prayer meetings and Bible studies? Very few. We simply don't see the need and we simply don't have the time. So the entire mood of the 4th century church about false teaching was, look, let's just go along to get along. Let's just love everybody and God will sort it all out. It's not my job to defend the faith. Let the pastor do that. It's not my responsibility to preserve the church. Let the elder board do that. I've got places to go, things to do, and people to see. Well, Brother Blair, are you saying that it's better to be poor than to be rich? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying, and I am saying it very clearly, that it is far better to be poor and to be saved and to be on fire for God and to be faithful to Jesus Christ and to go to heaven than it is to be drunk with pleasure and to be rich in this world and lose your convictions and lose your fire and lose your desire to serve God and go to hell. I am saying that. Yeah, but we can do both, Brother Blair. We can be blessed and still be on fire for God. Sure, if you will. But you need to know that very few people in the history of the world have ever done it. And I don't know how you feel about Jesus, but I think Jesus was a fairly spiritual man. And Jesus said it was impossible for a human being to love money and love God at the same time. All throughout the Bible, there were no more than a handful of souls who did not allow their prosperity to destroy their faith. Very, very few. So if you can do both, knock yourself out. But if you have to lose your faith in order to be blessed, then it's better to be poor. History teaches us that the church in the 4th century went through this very same dilemma between a love for God and a love for money, and for the most part, they miserably failed the test. Heresy and false teaching rushed into the church, and the people were too blessed to even be concerned. They were too busy taking care of all the blessings they had to take care of their relationship with God. Beloved, I pray that we are not going to fall into that same trap. Let us remain faithful. Let us remain true to God. Let us earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. The people of the 4th century were prosperous. They were educated more than their predecessors. And so they saw no need to press into the things of God. So when Arius rose up and began to teach false teaching, they said, well, you know, it's not really that much different than what we believe. Because Arius said that Jesus was sort of kind of like God, but just a little bit below God. And, you know, that's kind of similar to what the Bible says. And so it's really not that large of a departure from what we already believe. So let's just go along with what Arius says, and let's not be too picky here, and let's not split hairs too much, and let's, you know, we don't want to divide the church, and we don't want to end fellowship, and we don't want to make people feel bad. So, you know, it really doesn't matter that much if he's a little off. So let's just go along to get along, and then we can all serve God together. And that was the single biggest mistake that they ever made, and it nearly destroyed the church. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.